let's take our red book and turn to hymn number 95. While shepherds watched their flocks by night. First, second, and last, let's stand hymn number 95. The service in prayer, please.
Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your love, where we love us. Father, we thank you that you commanded your love for us, and yet while we're sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for that he took our place and bore our sins, and now we need to Father, tonight we pray that as we worship you, you give us a good service tonight. Bless our hearts. And as we go through the Christmas holidays, Lord, may we put thee first and foremost and honor thee with the real true meaning of Christmas. And Lord, we love you, thank you, and praise you. Remember each and every request. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. 236, the Battle Hymn of the Baptist, Amazing Grace. Let's sing all four verses. Let's do 1, 2, and 3, fellowship, and come back on number 4, okay? Cox has got a start on you, okay? So start shaking hands, all right? Thank you. All right, last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, ready?
When we've been there
10,000 years. Seated. I was telling Miss Pam that she's got to get a picture after the church. We got Caleb, and Caleb's wearing his bib overalls and his plaid shirt. And guess who else is? And we need to get a picture and put under it, train up a child in the way he should go. And so that'll look pretty good for Facebook, won't it? All right. Just before our sister sings for us, let me read you a little thank you note. It says, "Dear Faith Baptist Church, I just wanted to thank you for allowing us to be part of your Missions Emphasis Day. We do greatly appreciate all of your prayers and support for us as we prepare to move to Mexico to help spread the gospel. It is our prayer that God will richly bless your faith and your faithfulness to Christ in his service, Brother Fred Daniel III. So we appreciate this good family and pray for them that God will use them mightily as they're going to Mexico. All right, let's go ahead and have our sisters sing for us today.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he supplies, my thirsty soul he satisfies. He's the Lord of all, he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, and he fills my deepest longings. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need. He's all I need. I need not turn to any other, for he's a friend who's closer than a brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, and he fills my deepest longings. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, and he fills my deepest longings. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, He's all I need.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, sister. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Or if you have trouble pronouncing this, some people say Deuteronomy. But Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Read two verses of Scripture. And think about some things tonight. I hear people kind of, they'll say things, they'll talk about, you know, well, I don't know if I'll do this, I don't know if I'll do that, and they talk about how that the Bible is so vague and unclear about things. Well, other people say things like, well, I wish I knew what the will of God was about this or about that, and maybe some truth in that part. But you know what I learned a long time ago? If you'll just do what God says plainly in the book to do, you'll stay busy enough. And there's plenty in that book God tells you just black and white what to do. And if I do that, I'll be so busy, I might not have enough time to worry about the what ifs. And so he's got in Deuteronomy chapter number 10, look at verses 12 and 13. It says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Now look at the statement. I mean, you can't get any plainer than this. Verse 12, "And now Israel." Now yes, he is talking to Israel, no doubt about it. But I think the things that he said here can just as plainly be given to you and me who are Christians. We are non-Israel. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham, not the physical seed, but the spiritual seed. And it says here, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Look at that word require. What does God require? Now if you look at the world in which we're living, we are living in a different day to say the least. When we visited today with the Wiles, Mr. Wiles is 71 years old and he is still working a job. And he showed us pictures of things that he had done and when he had retired from a particular job and different things like that. And I got to thinking about it. I said, that's a different day. He talked about how long he had been working and when he started and different things of this nature. And I just listened, and my wife and I listened, and we saw pictures and things like that. And it would be nice if we could go back to those days where you worked one job for 30 years and then you retired with a gold watch and a pension. That'd be nice. I know a gentleman, dear man, good Christian man. And back when this financial crisis started coming around, and I mean, I'm talking back in probably the middle of the 2000s, probably around 2004 or 5. But when that thing first started, he was working in a job in Martinsville. He had been there all his life. I think it was something like 3 weeks prior to his retirement. His company went belly up, and he had no pension, no retirement, nothing. 3 weeks prior to his obtaining retirement, pension, insurance, you got packages back in those days. Boy, I wish we had that kind of stability today. The day is gone. There is no such creature anymore. Okay. Requirements are different now. There are some companies that their requirements are lax. They don't really require a whole lot out of you. They have no standard, if you will. There are, to the other extreme, some outfits that require unbelievable things. I have talked to many of you that on your job situations, they ask for very silly things. I think of Miss Pam and how that on her job situation, the day that they had that she had the surgery, that Julius talked to somebody that told him, said, "Oh, well, you got to have a doctor's excuse." A doctor's excuse, and you're in, you know, it's not exactly easy to get out of an operating room and get to work. But to me, that's very ridiculous. And those types of things go on, and you know it does, and you face that, and many of you are so stressed because and what I fear is that people are looking for ways to fire people. And that's not right. There used to be a day where your job, if they found out you were going to have surgery, they would bend over backwards because they wanted to keep good help. But now it's strange. They don't want to do that anymore. They want to run people through the mill, find an excuse to get rid of them, and do so, and run this whole gamut and play these games. And I don't understand all of this. We must understand that when God is speaking of requirements in verse 12, he said, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" God requires, but what God requires is not unreasonable. God is a reasonable God. He says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Let us reason. God is a reasonable God. God does not ask anything out of you that he does not first of all know you can handle, deal with, or produce. We understand as we study the New Testament, the Lord Jesus spoke about parables. And in the parables, he talked about people who had talents. And he had people who had one talent and 10 talents and 100 talents and this type of thing. And they had all of that. And these were people, and there are some people that are 100 talent people. I mean, they're good. They're good. There are some, God bless them, that's only one talent people. You say, "Well, boy, I wish I could do blank, but I can't." God will not give you a task, a responsibility, yea, even a requirement that you cannot do. And if you're a one talent person, then take the one talent, develop it, use it to the glory of God. If you're a five talent person, same principle. If you're a 100 talent person, same principle. Never do less than your best when it comes to serving the Lord. So God does not put this humongous thing of requirement out there and expect more out of us than we can deliver. Now, what did the Lord thy God require of thee? Well, that's a question. Let me ask myself that. You ask yourself that tonight. What is it that the Lord requires of each of us? And he says it as plainly as right here in these verses. I'm going to show them to you one at a time. Just simple. Just simple. Number one, he says this. He said, "But to fear the Lord thy God." Number one, what does the Lord require of us? Number one, to fear him. To fear him. We know that fear has a double meaning. Fear can mean absolute, stark, raving terror. And I hear people, they'll get up, they'll say, "Well, you know, God's not that way." Yes, he is. Yes, he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." I can think of nothing more terrifying than having to stand one day in the presence of God Almighty. You tell me anything more terrifying than that. Don't you dread it if you're at work and somebody says the boss needs to see you? What's the first question that you ask yourself? "What did I do?" Huh? You don't think, "Oh, I'm going in to get me a bonus." We don't think that way. We think, "Lord, what have I done? Is my head on a chopping block? Am I going to get fired?" We always think of something dreadful because the person sitting on the other side of that desk has the power of life and death in their hands concerning us. Should we fear God? Should we have fear, literal fear of God? Yes. Yes. We are wrong to mamby-pamby this thing. The words of the Lord Jesus are adequate when he said this. He said, "Fear not him that is able to destroy the body, but fear him also who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." We should fear God. I got new. Did you see this report? I don't know if you know the actor Jamie Foxx. Did you know that actor Jamie Foxx? He played, I think he did a movie and he played Charles, what was his name, the blind singer? Ray Charles. Do you know what he said recently in a meeting of some kind? I don't know if it was what kind of meeting. He said, have you ever heard black people when they're in church and they say, "We give honor to, you know, our president, we give honor to this, we give an honor and to our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you know what, did you see what he said in the news? It said, he said, "All respect and honor be given to our Savior, Barack Obama." That's what he said. He said, "To our Savior, Barack Obama." That's blasphemy. Let me tell you something, Mr. Fox. You better fear God. You better fear God. I marvel at how people today have no fear of God. None whatsoever. I marvel at people who even claim to be Christians and say things and do things, and at the same time, if you listen to them talk, they talk like they're the most, I mean, they just had this walk with God, and yet they're using this word and that word. And it's like, something's wrong with this picture. You can't play this game. You can't be on both sides of that fence. You can't be over here and talk about how much you love God, and everything over here comes out of your mouth is profanity and filth. And your lifestyle doesn't back up what your lips are saying over here. It doesn't work that way. I'm old school, and most of you are too, but I'm scared because what I'm seeing today is that what you and I call profanity is not profanity anymore. I get offended. There was a day that if some of you ladies were present in the room and a man said one word that was considered profanity, he'd stop and apologize. Today, the women are more profane than the men are. What does God require of us? To fear God. That is important. First thing on the list, fear God. Somebody says, "Well, I heard a man one time, educated man, claimed to be a Christian. I believe he had a PhD degree. And he made the statement, he said, I believe in people getting saved, but I don't think you need to get saved, you know, just to escape hell." I'd like to think of any other reason why wouldn't you be saved? Because his point was, you're trying to use a scare tactic to scare people out of hell. And your point? That's enough reason to get saved. And I'm thinking, where's the rationale here? To fear God. To have literal fear of God. We should be fearful of God. Now that fear also represents not only absolute fear, like I say, but it also represents, secondly, respect and reverence. Many of you and myself came out of a different era than these young people that are walking the streets now, because we came out of an era where we reverenced the names of our parents, even if our parents were not living right. Back in those days, you say something wrong, wham! Today they call that child abuse. Back then it was called rearing of children. And I'm sorry if people don't agree with it, but I think we need to go back to it. I was speaking of that of Mr. Wiles a few minutes ago. I watched him today. I thought, you know what? He came out of a different era. He came out of a work ethic era. And we just got through with an election where the majority of the people of the United States said, I don't want to work. We may go to a McDonald's or a Burger King or a Hardee's and we may complain. Sister Faye would probably know this better than I would. Isn't it amazing how many teenagers and young people work in these restaurants? And I thought about something, Miss Faye, and I don't know, and you'll have to straighten me out because I might be wrong. I wonder sometimes, is it because the adults don't want to work themselves? I don't know. Is it that we've got some people, young people or adults, that say, well, I don't make enough money, therefore I will not do this? Instead of the attitude that honest labor is good and I'm going to do it. My point is that when you go back to the way you were reared and raised, you were taught respect. You were taught reverence. I was taught, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. And then you say that today, and young people say, well, I'm not a ma'am. You know what I want to say? I said, sorry, sir. That's what I want to say. Because I'm trying to show respect. Now, people today do not have respect. Now, if they don't have respect for people today, do you think they're going to respect God? Did you know there was a day that the word cop actually started as an anagram, which meant Christians on patrol. That's where it started. But then it flipped. And then it became a derogatory term. And it was something that was a slang term that would show disrespect to policemen. Now it's just a synonym for policemen. Okay? But how do we treat authority? How do we treat the police? How do we treat whatever or whoever, our bosses or teachers? I mean, I know more and more folks that are involved in education, and you know what? They're looking to get out. They're looking to get out of education because we've got kids that have been raised by kids. This generation that we have now, do you know why they're messed up? They're messed up because their parents read stuff from somebody like Dr. Spock. Dr. Spock said in his books that if a child spits in your face, mom and dad, you let it go because he'll grow out of it. Yeah, right. If he spits in your face when he's a child, whose face is he going to spit on when he becomes a teenager? And whose head is he going to knock off with a baseball bat when he becomes 20 years old? There's a reason he says, fear God. Fear God. First and foremost. Look at the second thing. He said, to walk in all his ways. What does God require of us? Number one, to fear God. Number two, to walk with God. I've watched through the years, and you have too. I've watched this thing. I've been in the ministry a long time. I've pastored. I've done evangelistic work. In my years of pastoring, I always watch people. And there are people that I've seen while I've preached and while I've talked to them in their homes or whatever, and they get uncomfortable. And the reason they get uncomfortable is because they feel the convicting presence of the Holy Spirit. And they don't like it. Because there's only one of two directions you can go with the Holy Spirit. You either go to or you come away from. And the Bible is clear. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. And every time we come away from the Holy Spirit, our hearts are hardened. I see other things that are very typical. I see people who listen. They may listen intently. I've seen people in the time that I've been in this church that have come to visit our church. And I've watched them, and they are intent upon the Word of God. And the invitation is given, and they will not respond. And they'll do that for a while, and then they don't come back. And the reason they don't come back is because they're afraid. There's something about the presence of God that's scary if you're lost. You feel uncomfortable. I just don't feel comfortable in that church. And you know what they try to blame that on? They try to blame that on the pastor. Or they try to blame it on the people of the church. Oh, that church didn't shake my hand. Or, you know, one thing I appreciate about our church is people that come here to visit always say that we have a very friendly church. And I'm glad it ought to be that way. Because I've been in some churches, brother, they wouldn't walk across the... If you were on fire, they wouldn't walk across the street and spit on you to put the fire out. So I appreciate your friendliness. I hope you always will be that way. And yet, the strangeness of it is this, that when you feel the presence of the Lord, you've got to find some kind of excuse, because I watch faces. You ought to watch faces. People who are under conviction, their eyes get big. I mean, they'll stare a hole in me. And that invitation is given. Brother Buddy will start singing and Miss Teresa get to playing. And oh my goodness, they got to do something. They're either going to come forward or they're going to sit there and they're going to grab that pew and they're going to hold on to that pew as long as they can. And brother, they're going to hightail it out that door because they can't take it. Can't take it. But let's flip-flop it. Once you get saved and you have this desire to serve the Lord, guess what you're going to do? What did he say? To walk with the Lord. When you get saved and you get a good old-fashioned dose of the Holy Ghost, as somebody said, you know that Bible you got in your hand? Boy, you love that Bible. You want to read that Bible. You want to spend time in prayer. You want to be in the house of the Lord. Why? Because all that represents walking with the Lord. If you walk with the Lord, you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. And the things that I just said are clearly related in the Scriptures, that's what God wants me to do. And we're to walk with Him and spend time with Him. You say, well, my Lord, you say, well, preacher, my walk with the Lord hadn't been what it ought to be. Well, the Bible's clear about that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's easily rectified. You just confess, be honest with God. Because if you have a walk with somebody and you have a friendship with somebody, you're going to be honest with them. But people have sometimes a wrong fear of God because they're saying, oh, I would never talk to God that way. I can't talk. Yes, God wants you to talk to Him that way. Interesting thing about a fellow named Enoch. Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. They got to walking and God just took him on up. And they just walked on because that fellowship was so sweet between Enoch and the Lord. They just kept walking. One day, every one of us, if the Lord tarries, every one of us are going to walk home with the Lord. And it's not going to be kicking and screaming either. How many dear saints of God have you been to? You visited them. And buddy, the peace of God is all over them when they die. It wasn't clutching and grabbing and clawing and screaming. Oh man, they said, look at there. There's some angels right there. Look, I see something opening. It looks like the gates of heaven. I mean, I've heard of those things. Walk with the Lord. What a wonderful thing. That's what we ought to do in this Christian walk, is to walk with the Lord. Third thing. He says, and to love Him. And to love Him. Fear God. Walk with God. Third thing, to love God. Do I love Him? Do I tell Him I love Him? Do I show Him I love Him? Very important. Most Christians never say to God any time in their existence, they never say, God, I love You. Have you ever done that? Oh, I could never do that. Do you say it to your loved ones? Do you say it to your husband and wife? Do you say it to your children? Do you say it to dear friends? Do you say, I love You? If you can say that to human beings, why can't you say it to God? And to love Him. I believe if you do that, you'll have a sweeter walk with Him. I believe it'll get better and better and tweeter, somebody said. Why do we love Him? We love Him because what He's done for us. We love Him because He died for us. We love Him because He shed His blood for us. We love Him because He died on the old rugged cross for us. All because He wanted to and not because He had to. He wanted us to have fellowship with Him. He wants to take us to heaven one day. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But how are you going there? Through the shed blood of Jesus. Isn't that enough to say, Heavenly Father, I love You. Dear Jesus, I love You. And I thank You and I bless Your name. That's when we were singing this morning in the hymn book, oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful that Jesus Christ, my Savior, would die for me. Why shouldn't I love Him? And why shouldn't I tell Him to love Him? Number four. He says, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That's interesting. If you want an interesting Bible study, take that phrase and watch in the different ways in the Bible, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and look at the way that thing is used in the Bible. Pretty awesome. It's in the Old Testament and New Testament both. Now, God has to speak to me on the level of a child, because that's compared to God and His greatness. This is the way this old puny brain is. I'm dumb as a rock. And He's got to tell me in language I understand. And He says, to serve Him with all, every single solitary bit of my heart. That's my emotional makeup. It's just not that thing pumping heart blood through your body. It's the emotional makeup that I am. That's what I am. Don't you feel sorry for people that have had very hard backgrounds in life and they have a hard time adjusting to things? It's very difficult. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a joy to be able to adjust in the family of God with the Lord. Because He is the absolute epitome of consistency. He will always listen.
He will always hear. He will always give you respect. You have that promise from His Word that He'll do that. Now the problem comes when the devil starts whispering in my ear and says to me, "Now, Lord, not going to do that for you." Well, what did I say this morning? I have to go to that Bible and I have to read that Bible. That Bible tells me verses like we talked about, such as, "I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed, nor his seed begging bread." I have to go to such verses as Philippians chapter 4 that says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to Christ Jesus." Because the devil would come to me and say, "God doesn't love you. He doesn't like you. God wants to see you go down in flames." The devil's just like that, isn't he? Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 is the first question mark in the Bible, and guess who put it there? The devil did. "Yea, hath God said." He's always going to try to create doubt for you and for me, always. But he says this, he said, "You serve me, and you serve me with all thy heart, all your emotional makeup, and with all thy soul." That's your spiritual makeup. I wish that I could do something to help all the people in our church, because I know everybody in our church, I said it this morning, and I'll say it again, everybody in our church is going through a rough time right now. One way or another. And I wished that my arms were long enough that I could take you and hug you and love you and help you with your needs and your burdens, but my arms are too short and my financial ability is too meager and I can't do it. But I am reminded in the Bible in an old song that says, "There is a balm in Gilead." And you know what that balm does? B-A-L-M. You know what that balm does? It brings healing. Healing. And you know the only person that can do is give you healing is the Lord. There isn't anybody can pay your bills but the Lord. There isn't anybody can put food on your table but the Lord. There isn't anybody that can restore a broken family but the Lord. There isn't anyone that can take someone that is so distressed emotionally and spiritually and can help them have a good night's rest but the Lord. He said, "Serve me with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Why? Because if you, I'm convinced of this statement, if you do what you are supposed to do, God will take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. But I've got to do what I'm supposed to. I have responsibilities. I have what? Requirements. If I do what God wants me to do, He says, I'll take care of the rest. I have to believe that. I have to. 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 I have no other choice. I have to. I can't change anything. I have to. I've taken Him in His Word. Fear God. Walk with God. Love God. Serve God. Last thing, number 5. Verse 13 says, "And to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Fifth thing, to obey God. To obey God. Fear God, walk with God, love God, serve God, obey God. Verse I don't know about you, but when it gets down to this obedience thing, that's tough stuff right there for sure. Let me prove it to you. Ever been down to your last few bucks and God tells you to put it in the plate? It's like, Lord, you ain't talking to me. And you do not have peace until you do what you're supposed to do, what he told you to do. And here's the thing about it. When he tells you, you know it. You know it. You know it. Whatever it is, God tells you, give that man a gospel track over. Oh, Lord, no, I'm not going to do that. No, Lord, I'm scared to death. Lord says, you see that man right over? Give him a gospel track. And you're not going to have peace till you obey. I don't care what it is. I don't know if we do this much anymore. Have you ever been riding down the road and somebody's on the side of the road and they're thumbing? And the Lord says, stop, pick them up. Lord, I don't do that. And in this day and time, who can blame you? But what if the Lord said for you to directly do it? You're going to go down that road and you're going to beat yourself down that road because you didn't obey. You could take that scenario and carry it as far as you want to, but what does he say? To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. There isn't anything in this Bible that God gives us that is not for our good. Everything in this book is for my good and your good. And there are people who run away from it. There are people that ought to be in the house of God tonight, not only here, but other good Bible preaching churches. And they ought to be in the house of God. And you know they're not, and you know why? Because they're running from God. You hear me? And they're not what? They're not obeying. I started the message with this thought. Let's not worry so much about what we don't understand. Let's be concerned with the black and white we do understand. And if you can't get past the basic foundational levels of obedience, you'll never understand, you'll never learn, you'll never grow in the things of God till you get that thing down. I hear stories of people who have graduated from high school and are going into college and they can't sign their name. You say, how does that happen? I give you one word, sports. Now, nobody's a bigger believer in sports. I think we need to have sports. I believe in that. But if you're going to twist everything around just so you can get this big old brawny football player to play for you and he doesn't even know how to do multiplication tables and he doesn't even know how to sign his own name. Somebody dropped a ball a long time ago. I don't know the ins and outs of this thing, but I tell you, one of the things that has blown me away was the Penn State scandal. This incident with Sandusky, and then they were trying to pull in the old coach. I forgot his name. What's his name? Joe Paterno, yeah. And they're trying to pull him in and all this stuff. And when that thing happens, here's what happens, always happens. When somebody gets their hand in the cookie jar, when they do the correction, they always go way to the extreme on stuff because they took his statue down from Penn State Field, all that sort of thing. And
you know. But the thing is, how'd this thing get so far out of kilter? And I don't think we'll ever know. I don't think we'll ever know. Because if this thing's been going on as long as they say it has, it's been going on for a long time. It's been going on for 2 or 3 months. They talk like this thing's gone 10, 15 years plus. How do you let that thing go on so long? Somebody has been turning, twisting, and tweaking stuff, deceiving people. When things like that take place, you're supposed to what? Turn somebody in. Nobody was turned in. Why weren't they turned in? Do re mi. Isn't it interesting that Paul said to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Money's just currency. That's all it is. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And people will do some strange things for thinking they can get power and prestige and honor and big money and all of this. Seemed like that Penn State had been better a long time ago if they just obeyed what they were supposed to do and what they knew to do. Because if I'm not mistaken, I forget the exact thing they said, but one of the principles of their bylaws and statements was to teach integrity. Integrity was shot down the tube. Isn't it interesting what the Bible says in the story of Samuel and Saul? When Samuel looked at Saul because Saul decided that he was going to take all of the enemy's sheep and oxen and all the animals and he was going to keep them and use them for sacrifices. And Samuel had said to him specifically, destroy all the animals. Samuel rode in one day and he looked around and he came up to Saul and he said, here was his question. He said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep? Not bleeding, bleating. What meaneth the bleating of the sheep? Why do I hear the sheep making noises? Oh, they're so wonderful. They're expensive and they're well taken care of. And I thought we could use them for sacrifices. And he looked eyeball to eyeball with Saul, and he said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. You know what the problem that King Saul had? He thought to himself. Don't think to yourself. Do what God says do, period. Obey. Obey. Let's pray. Five plain statements. Fear God, walk with God, love God, serve God, obey God. Just as simple as that. Just that simple. But do you know, as simple as that is, it's hard? Even in the case of what I said with Saul and Samuel, what'd Saul do? Saul turned that thing around, didn't he? Twisted that thing. Boy, people like to do that. You know why they twist it? Because they try to make it say something it's not being said. These are five statements, just as plain as they can be. And if you and I get hold of those five statements and do those five statements, we have done five things God has required of us. So may the Lord help us to obey Him, to serve Him, to love Him, to walk with Him, and to fear Him. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts and help us to take these very clear but very sharp admonitions of Scripture and teach us to do these five things, that these are what you require of your people. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Buddy, hymn number
166.
As we stand, the altar's open if you need to come and pray.
Thank you.
is sufficient. We'll let you be seated. Brother Bill, if you'd come, please, and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings tonight. Don't forget next Sunday. We'll look forward to a good Christmas party together. I was told today that I forgot to mention the white elephant gift time, so don't forget to be looking at your house and finding that just perfect thing. Now, let me just say this. I said this before. You folks were so nice last year. You brought nice gifts. Tonight, I want you to go home this week and find that very special gift that when you saw it, you said, I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. It's going to the flea market. It's going to Salvation Army. It hadn't got there yet. So it might be the will of the Lord for you to bring it here next Sunday. So keep that in mind, all right? So look for that thing and bring it. And then Miss Teresa's going to be in charge of game time. And Dr. Kendall Smith will be bringing what I call the Christmas message that afternoon. There'll be no night service. And so we'll look forward to a good time of fellowship. So keep that in mind. Thank you for those that have been sharing in the food pantry in the back. So if you're able to do that, Sister Moore will be taking that to that family after Wednesday night. Any other announcements before we pray? Okay, Brother Bill, lead us in prayer. Don't forget also, if by some chance of happenstance you feel like you would be able to go on Thursday night to the Lord, Thus Saith the Lord Baptist, let me know and we'll see how all that goes, okay? All right, have a good week.
Yeah, you'll be singing your own.
That's right.